from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And I'm back to, I'm back in the main studio again. With the controls, with my four monitors, two computers, one two cats, and I know it's counting on the glass, which is kind of nice to be back here.
With my four monitors. I only have two eyes, and I can't even separate them to look on two monitors at a time, so I don't know how you're doing whatever.
Oh, I still need two more monitors,
I have got two monitors here. I've only got one turned on, so that'll teach you. Or something.
But anyways.
Oh, good afternoon, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing out there? And you can tell us. How can they tell us, Cliff?
Oh, by simply giving us a call at 646-721-982, 647. The whole thing, it's all wrong now. 646-721-9887. I got the 7 wrong, and then I decided to start the next. Anyway, never mind. 646-721-9887. That's the number to call. That's the absolute final number to call. Easy to remember.
You know that really helps our numbers when you give out the right phone number.
It would work. Might make a difference at that. Last week I think it was, or the week before, I don't know whatever week it was, I gave out KNND's number, just not even thinking, just gave it out. So, oh well.
Right, I'm sure that KNND appreciated that. KNND Cottage Grove, by the way. What is that, 1400, 1600?
1400. That was the last radio station I worked at, by the way.
Yeah. And they're going, yeah, we want to participate in what's going on today. Well, what are you talking about? We're not talking about anything right now. What?
Actually, they're doing a very good job. They've got some good people on their show. Then they've got some creative. Never mind. We don't need to go into that.
Yeah, I heard that they actually got a morning team or something going on that's expanding a little bit.
Well, more than important than that is they've got an afternoon team, a comedy team, which is just insane. They do some funny stuff, but most of it's just insane. I won't go into that at all. Let's go back to our business. Speaking of insane.
Speaking of insane, yes, exactly. Speaking of insane, couple things on today's list, which you can, again, like Cliff just mentioned, you can dial in at 646-721-9887. Join us in the chat room right now, or if you're listening to the program on the archives, again, you can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. On the agenda today.
By the way, you can join in the chat room now, because if you want to say something, Robin can, she seems to be able to type and talk and read and everything at the same time. I can't do that, so she'll answer you in the chat room. I never could. I just thought I'd let her know.
With my four monitors, two keyboards, two mice, and a sheet of paper.
Yeah, right. I've got a sheet of paper, except that it's all full of junk and I can't write on it anymore.
Maybe you need an upgrade.
I possibly could use another new piece of paper. I've had tape to the table, and I use it with my mouse. And I just, when I write on it too, and I haven't changed it for over a year. You can imagine how much junk it's got on it.
Well, speaking of upgrading, I'll say what the topics are. Well, let me say the topics are real quick here. We're going to talk a little bit about Hostess Twinkie and the national.
Big cry.
Yeah. And as Cliff has already corrected me many a times, I probably will still make the same mistake, and apparently a lot of other people's made the mistakes, is the over 30 states now wish to secede
from the union. And it's more than 30, it's all 50 of them.
Is it all 50 now?
All 50 of them, 660,000 votes.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a few minutes. We're going to run some business here in a minute. But what I want to kind of touch on real quick is we're talking about upgrading is, believe it or not, I finally got into the smartphone thing. I did kind of like when I went to Windows, you know, I went to from DOS to Windows 3.1, kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
I got the Samsung Galaxy 2, which is a really nice monitor on it, a nice, you know, plays movies. Well, the movies you can get on it because Flash is not available for Android anymore. It does really good in texting and a few other, and you can play Angry Birds on it.
You play what?
Angry Birds.
Why would you want to make the birds angry?
It's a game. But anyways, despite all that, now I know that, okay, I know that I am getting up there and, you know, even though I am a technophobe, you know, especially if you looked around the office here, I know I'm being overly particular, but because it has the word phone in it, I would like it to work as a phone. And apparently, in fact, even, you know, even the iPhone, which another member of the family has just got an iPhone, too, is having trouble with the Bluetooth. This thing does not like the Bluetooth at all. When it goes into sleep mode, you still have to reach over, hit the button, and do something. So it's not totally hands-free. So I still kept my old Verizon Razor flip phone, which so far as a phone works about 10 times better than the so-called smartphone.
Yeah, it's just because you haven't learned it. You haven't, successfully learned how to play it or work it or adjust it or set it up so that it works right. That's all. That's all. It's just that phones, quote, close quote, are getting so involved, even almost as much as learning how to run a computer, that it's going to take you a year to learn how to use it. And by the time you've learned how to use it in a year, you're going to replace it anyway. So that's the way it goes.
Not me. I'm one of those type of people that, you know, I keep it for a long time. I mean, I even have a car that two mechanics said it wasn't designed to last this long, and you can't buy parts.
How long did you keep your last phone?
Well, when did they come out with the Razor?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've had mine for 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep them forever. We're about to thinking about changing ours because there's so many things now that Candy wants to do a lot more with hers than I even want to do with mine. But so we may have to change our phones. But and then that and she's been texting. I've never texted, but she's been texting a lot, and it's starting to cost money. So consequently, I assume that if we buy the unlimited, some sort of an unlimited thing for texting, that we can, and we've had our, because every 2 years you can upgrade your phone for free, right? I mean, that's usually what your contract runs in for, and after 2 years you can go back to AT&T at least and upgrade it, and you get a new phone free. Well, we've gone through three of those periods of time that we could have upgraded our phone to, and we never have. So we're thinking about doing it again.
Yeah, the new technology, that's just like Twitter, you know, 140 characters or whatever, you know, you say, well, I'm going to go tweet this. Well, after you tweet it, what is the past tense of tweet? Twit?
No. Tweet.
Tweet.
Yeah.
So you tweet, and then after you tweet, you still tweet instead of tweeted.
No. I never thought about it. I tweet it. That's what I do. I just don't do it.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of tweeting, I'm going to tweet this. I'm going to tweet about cookies.
Okay.
And particularly Dancing Dog cookies, which are homemade in Eugene area by Tom and Kathy and are available in selected stores within Lane County, are online at DancingDogCookies.com.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with dancing dog cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out on page two. And the website's still under construction, so please be patient. But yeah, they're really kind of cool looking, and they do a really good job. And of course, dogs love them, and they go good in coffee too. So.
Yep, right. Now, do these guys stand around in their kitchen making dog cookies all day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dog cookies and other treats, and they got some new products they're going to be rolling out pretty soon, and we'll announce those as soon as they're available. But yeah, it's really cool. Cool stuff. Like Cliff says, what about cat cookies? Well, that's the word. I don't know about that, but anyways.
Peach cookies.
Yeah. But speaking of treats, how about a treat? 646-721-9887, and give us a treat by giving us a call and trying that number out.
I wish that works.
We are here for you.
Not really. I'm here to make my bushes known or something like that.
And there are people that are, although unfortunately, well, fortunately, you know, they are checking us out in the archive. The archive numbers are really good. We would like you to call us as well. It would really add to the show. 646-721-9887. The chat room is open right now if you'd like to participate in that realm. Again, if you're one of the thousands of people that do listen to the archives every week, you can send us emails. They're always welcome. And we'll try to respond as fast as we can based on around our schedules and stuff. So we try to get back to everybody that, except for the guy that keeps sending me stuff about Viagra, as much as we can talk at CaribbeanRadio.com.
There's probably a million people that do that because in my experience, it's not just one person that sends Viagra stuff. I tell you what's upsetting me. This is the year. This is the time of the season. And again, we've got people in Santa Monica, for example. There's a group that has put up for 60 years or so. They put up a nativity scene in the park, Palisades Park.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody's screaming and hollering and yelling to them. And so what they've done, which is kind of an interesting thing, they've got several areas that you can set up different scenes and you can go in but it's basically has been Christian churches that have done this. But what they did is I guess the city has gone in and said, okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to set out different areas so you can have put up whatever kind of a scene you want if you're a different kind of a church or whatever. And we're going to make you pay for it. That's, you know, instead of, let's face it, they may as well, if they're going to be that much people are going to be arguing over them. But what they did is last year they put up this thing and atheists won 18 of the 21 spots that they set up to put in there. And a Jewish group won another one, and the traditional nativity scene is down to 14. So I find that quite interesting that atheists won 18 to 21 spots. And so that I don't know if that goes to show you anything. I think it does because the whole business of you know, I find it no problem at all to see the nativity scene there. But to make it big and make it huge and take up that much room, no. You know, it's just a little thing that should be sitting in there. And it should be displayed in somebody's yard, not in a park.
Well, I mean, the thing about atheists, I mean, it's, and why they did so good, because it was so noncommittal.
Yeah, well, really. I wonder what they're going to put up. What do you put up for an atheist?
Nothing.
Yeah, really, I guess. I don't know. I'd like to see that, an atheist display. What do you display for atheists? I could think of lots and lots of things, but none of them I'm going to talk about.
Remember, we have our rating here.
Yeah, really. But anyway, I just thought I was a little upset when I saw that, so I thought I'd mention it and bring it up because that's every year this thing happens, and every year everybody gets upset about the nativity scenes, and it's no big thing. Who cares if God is in Christmas or not? It's a pagan thing that we're celebrating. I mean, we've been a long time since we've done anything. Well, some people do, of course, but basically we're all busy going out and buying things. That's all it is. And there's two holidays that we're doing the same thing with: Halloween and Christmas. Thanksgiving is kind of set in its way. You don't go out and buy gifts much usually for Thanksgiving. I notice I got a Thanksgiving card this year. I got a couple of cards that said Happy Thanksgiving. That's fine. But the thing is, most of it is in Halloween, you go out and you buy things to decorate your house and yourself, for that matter, whatever you want to decorate. But at Christmas, that's when you really spend the money. That's where you really spend the money, for yourself and for other people.
Now, did I hear you right? You referred to Christmas as a pagan holiday.
Yes.
The views and opinions expressed by some hosts on this show does not necessarily reflect the...
Well, Christmas is not a thing for Christ. Christ, we wouldn't be buying Christmas gifts and doing all this stuff if it was a Christian holiday. You look it up sometime, you find out that we're actually celebrating a pagan holiday.
Okay.
I'm not. I've only got one screen up, so I can't go do that. But
no, I just know some areas that I just won't go. But
okay,
just because the cards and letters and et cetera. But anyways, 646-721-9887. Twinkies. Believe it or not, the Twinkie is going away.
No, it's gone. It's gone. It is absolutely gone. They've closed the plant. They've let go 16,000 people, and they've kept a couple 3,000 of them to, I guess, clean things up and whatever. But technically speaking, the Twinkie is now gone. As a matter of fact, from what I've been able to read and see on the radio, on the internet. Basically, not only is the Twinkie gone, Twinkies themselves are gone, because talk about a run on bakery goods.
What's interesting, now, in the battle of what would last or what would live through a nuclear war, which is the combination of the cockroach and the Twinkie, I guess that means that the cockroach wins.
Well, that depends on whether some people are buying their Twinkies in order to keep them wrapped up and to find out who's going to win. The cockroach is going to win, period, because the cockroach keeps perpetuating itself. Twinkies don't do that, at least not anymore.
At least not that we're aware of.
Yeah, well, that's true. But ding-dongs. The thing that gets to me is Wonder Bread. Do you realize that Hostess did Wonder Bread? I thought that would never go away. I mean, Wonder Bread, that's the best bread in the world. And I'm going to miss my Wonder Bread, because that was my favorite bread.
Exactly. I was just trying to bring up the list here, because like Cliff was just saying, is that in addition to the Twinkie, Wonder Bread, Ho-Ho's, I was just looking at it yesterday.
Ding-dongs.
Ding-dongs.
Lots of good things are gone. The thing is, the Twinkies went first. Twinkies were the most. People kept saying almost everybody denies liking Twinkies. Ah, Twinkies, I won't eat Twinkies. Twinkies, Twinkies are terrible. But almost everybody does eat them and has eaten them. And this, again, we've approved it because absolutely proved it beyond any kind of debate, because the first thing that made it to go away was Twinkies, not Ding Dongs or Wonder Bread or anything else, but Twinkies was the first thing to be gone. And one of the things that I used to go to all the time here and in Washington State was these Hostess bakeries, these stores. Bakery outlet, that's what they were called, bakery outlet stores. And, of course, they're going to go away because they were Hostess almost entirely. But they've had some other things on too, so maybe they'll stay. But most of their stuff was Hostess products, and they're going to go away. And that's sad because I used to go there all the time and buy different things. Usually you could go there and find them really, really, really inexpensive.
Absolutely. By the way, the other products that Hostess makes. There's a
huge storm raging here.
It's storming outside right now. But
something like a garbage can just rolled into my front door.
Could have been. Anyway, Twinkies, cupcakes, ding-dongs, ho-ho, snowballs, donuts. Breads include Wonder, Nature's Pride, Home Pride, Butternut, and Beefsteak, among others.
Now, Home Pride was another one we used to buy a lot.
Yeah. Basically, the Hostess is closing is going to affect 33 bakeries, 565 distribution centers, approximately 5,500 delivery routes, 570 bakery outlets throughout the United States as Hostess goes through the bankruptcy. And the in the words of Gregory Rayburn, the chief executive officer, on the company's website, he says, "We deeply regret the necessity of today's decision, but we do not have the financial resources to weather an extended nationwide strike. Hostess Brands will move promptly to lay off most of its 18,500 member force and focus on selling its assets to the highest bidder."
Well, if somebody doesn't buy the name, I assume that the name Hostess Twinkie is for sale. But if someone doesn't buy Twinkies, if I even had close to the money to buy Twinkies, man, I'd buy it so fast. Man, that's a name to be reckoned with. There's even restaurants. There was a picture of a restaurant, I believe it's here in Oregon somewhere, where he serves one of his desserts is deep fried Twinkies, and his business is gone too. Of course, you can go online now and you can get the recipe for Twinkies.
Well, and here's the thing too, is that I'm waiting for Obama to come out and say that the Twinkie business was too big to fail, and therefore.
Okay. Too big to fail, huh? Well, that's probably as big as any of the failures that we've had so far. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he got his fingers in there somewhere.
That could be. And speaking of, as kind of the lead-in, 646-721-9887, by the way, that kind of leads into the second part of the topic, which is the White House back in September, I believe, launched a site called We the People, which allows everyday citizens to better communicate and petition the White House, as listed in the First Amendment, and the White House will respond to each petition if it reaches a threshold. Well, I don't have it in front of the screen yet, because I'm still trying to get things set back up here. As part of one of the petitions was to make the Twinkie a national, or to nationalize the Twinkie.
To nationalize the Twinkie?
Yeah.
Okay. What does that mean anyway? Nationalize a Twinkie. You know, it's an American thing. Everybody knows it's Twinkie's American.
I don't know. It just sounds. Sorry, with my sense of humor. So far, however, 3,513 people have petitioned the White House to nationalize the Twinkie industry, stating that we, the undersigned, hereby request Barack Obama to immediately nationalize the Twinkie industry and prevent our nation from losing her sweet, creamy center.
I'm going to be right back. Something's going on.
Okay, and as Cliff is going to see if there's any flying cows going by the place, because we are in Oregon here, we are going through a little bit of a storm, and it's supposed to be 30-mile-an-hour winds, et cetera, today. So Cliff is out checking to make sure that he's still got a studio over there. But, yeah, what's interesting, speaking of the White House petition website, is some of the petitions that have actually been showing up. Some of them actually are, now what I'm going to say, instructive technician or petitions. Some of them are just stupid, to be honest. And let's see, I don't have the, Cliff has a number for the thresholds, but there's been like for example, there's a petition to shut down the petitions because they said nobody ever reads them. One of the fastest responses that they got for a petition, in fact, it didn't even reach the threshold, was the formula for the White House beer called Ale to the Chief.
I went through, you know, I read the petitions. I didn't read all of them because there's so many of them, but I read a lot of them. And one of the biggest ones that I saw was, of course, 35,688 people requested Obama be impeached.
Yeah, that's kind of like Cliff said on last week's program, you know, it's done. America spoke. Cry in the milk. Get over it.
Yep.
The only thing we can do now is, like I've always said, we can learn from the mistakes. We can hold their feet to the fire is basically all that we can do at the moment. And when we come up, see, we have another election come up 2014. Every 2 years for Senate and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Is to... make sure that, you know, we get people in there that represent people.
That's the other thing that I kept pushing and pushing and pushing for, is to get some new people in the Senate and in the House. And we didn't do that either. We didn't change the people there either. Nearly as we had a whole lot of people could have changed, and we just didn't do it. We're just fat and happy. And so whatever we get now is just tough luck.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying, is that you hold the people, you hold the elected officials, you know, feet to the fire, insist that they do their job, that they read the bill, and respond to the people. But we need to, when the opportunity, we need to get rid of Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and some of those others. In fact, I kind of want to touch just a side note. We'll come back to the petitions here in just a moment. I think it's kind of interesting that with the ambassador in Syria, is that correct?
I don't know.
The Syria Gate or whatever they're calling it, that he was requesting assistance and wound up getting killed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That
Libya.
Libya. That with the Fast and Furious scandal going on, the Syria, Libya?
Libya's in Syria.
Okay. Anyways, the thing with the ambassador being killed, nobody's really seemed to really get angry about that until Petraeus is having an affair. Now there's going to be congressional hearings about his affair.
Well, there was an actual quite an uprising about it. About the actual thing about it before Petraeus, his affair, entered into it.
Yeah, but it seems like nobody really cared until, or at least as far as the news media.
Well, see, you don't pay attention to the television, And if you watched, see, there's the two major news outlets are Fox and CNN. And whether you like it or not, ABC, CBS, CBS, NBC, all this, those are just secondary. And most of them get their stuff from Fox and CNN in the first place. But Fox and CNN were quite adamant about and different at odds about this particular thing. Fox made a big thing about this whole this whole group of people ignoring the fact that anything had happened. And CNN just kind of glossed over it for some reason or other. But Fox did have a whole thing going about it, and they were really had a, and they had a lot of, and the secret, the whole thing is, the one thing you can go by, I guess, and about the only thing you can go by, is Fox happens to be the number one network, period. And so you have to be careful. They have the most watchers or listeners or observers or whatever you want to call it, and they seem to have the, I don't know. This whole business of just ignoring things wasn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen because too many things are going on, and they've been talking about it for a long time.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. But like I say, is that if you want to bring down this government, throw sex in it.
Well, that's interesting. That's the one thing you probably can't do with Obama, because that's the one thing where he's pretty much got his nose clean. If there was ever a point where anybody found out that he did something wrong, or did something, went on his wife or did whatever, that would probably do it for him. That would be the end of it.
Well, you never know. I mean, we got 3.5.
Well, that's true. It could happen. 3.5 years of still to go, or 4 years to go. The last, well, three, whatever. But I still feel, as much as I dislike the idea of him being there and this and everything else, we're stupid if we're going to sit here and harp on him and make up our mind about what he's going to do and what he isn't going to do before he even takes office. I mean, literally, he hasn't even taken office yet. He hasn't been sworn in yet. So, you know, we're going to have to give him a couple months before we make up our mind what he's going to do in the second year, or the second legal office, second period of time around. He could be totally different. You never know. Because, see, I still don't believe, I just do not believe that he actually controlled what he was doing or what was happening the first 4 years of office. He had a whole bunch of people there that were pulling the strings. And that's, like it or not, that's exactly what they were doing. And whether he's going to let them continue doing it or not, I don't know. But I bet, I'd be willing to bet that he's not going to do that, because he's learned who they are and what their aim is, whether it be good or bad or indifferent. And so many of them had. There's been many, many people. I hope that he's woke up a little bit.
Well, I guess we'll find out, because we're going to have to deal with it. And one of the things, I want to get back to the petitions here in a moment. One of the things that I'm going to throw out, and I told you so, and I'm going to keep throwing out I told you so on this one, is starting 2014 with Obamacare, if you don't have federal qualifying insurance, health insurance, you're going to start paying a penalty, which can cost you up to a little bit over $2,000. So I hope you guys have been sitting there going, it's free health care. Yeah, it's only free if you are really broke.
Well, I am. I'm on.
But the rest of us, you know, that, because the thing is, it's like when Cliff and I was growing up, for example, you know, back when making a $3 an hour wage was really a good wage. and gas was a quarter too. But, you know, making $20,000, $30,000 a year was good money. If you were making $40,000, $50,000 a year, you were doing really good. You had the big house, the motorhome, the RV, the RV is the same thing as the motorhome, but, you know, the boat and all that. now, I won't talk about how much my personal income is, but it takes it. I can tell you right in my situation, it takes two people just to be able to pay what we have, and we're not living it.
So that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing is that we've changed things so much that a single human being can't support a household. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be in the United States. One person should be able to support the household, and not it shouldn't require two people to work to support a household. And that's the way we've gotten it to the point nowadays that the father or the mother, it doesn't make any difference, can't do it by themselves. Very few people can. And so consequently, that's one of our problems with our youth of the days, is that mom and dad both have to work. And consequently, nobody left over to take care of the kids. And that's going to be a problem. And that is a problem right now. And it's going to become worse. You know, the whole thing is this whole problem with the United States is going to get worse and worse and worse. And we're going to have, if we can't get jobs, that's what's going to make it worse faster, if that makes sense. Because people not working are upset. And when they're upset, we get problems in the country. And we're going to have, there's going to be problems.
Well, speaking of problems, and this is just a news item that just came in. This is from CNS News. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner said Friday that Congress should stop placing legal limits on the amount of money that the government can borrow and effectively lift the limit to infinity.
What the hell they have? I mean, we've borrowed $1 billion at a time. If that isn't infinity, nothing is. I mean, $1 trillion at a time. As far as I'm concerned, if that isn't the legal limit being lifted, then nothing is. I mean, we've done that constantly. We're already, $16 trillion in debt. Any more than that, it doesn't make any difference what they do. I mean, we're beyond the point of no return now.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because what good does it do to have limits when you're just going to say, okay, well, we're going to shut the government down in 5 days if we don't pass this, and then when the deadline comes, okay, let's raise the limit. I can't do that with my credit cards.
That's true. Somehow or another, you get caught. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like it. It's like, well, you only had a $20,000 limit. I know, but I raised it.
Yeah, right.
Somehow it just doesn't work out the same. Anyway, 646-721-9887. Join us now. Join us now.
Back to your petitions, there was one that I saw that I thought was kind of interesting. It says they want to legally recognize Westboro Baptist Church as a hate group. These people are the ones that are constantly running out there, and whenever you see a group of militaries or gays or Christians or Jews or Muslims, whatever, wherever they picket them, and military funerals, they picket these military funerals, and they claim God hates everyone. And everything, and they will burn them all in hell because they support and defend America. There's a website, www.godhatesfags.com. That's their website, and that says enough about them. But anyway, that was the second largest number of petitions that I saw on this particular thing that were signed, signatures on the petition. That was 14,731.
Exactly. Well, speaking of petitions, again, you can go to the White House website, which is petitions.whitehouse.gov, and take a look at it. It's kind of interesting about what some of them. And what I'm going to do is read off just a couple of them based on popularity. And the number one, most popular one, I'm going to do the opposite of the top 10 list of what's his name? I don't watch it. Late night television. What's that?
I say you don't watch television.
Well, until recently I didn't have a television. It kind of makes a difference. But now I got a smartphone which
has a television. That's really sad.
But it won't work because you can't get Flash for it anymore. So most of the stuff that won't work because they're expecting HTML5 to everybody to cross over, and a lot of people haven't heard of HTML5.
I find it very sad that we spend a huge amount of money. Like I went out and, you know, you buy a 60-inch television and big, huge television, and yet other people are going out and buying telephones and watching TV on them. That's just sad.
And while they're walking and talking and texting and running into cars.
Yeah.
Walking. Anyways, okay, kind of doing the opposite of David Letterman. Number one, coming in at 115,227 signatures, peacefully grant the state of Texas to withdraw from the United States of America and create its own government. And what's interesting is that, as like Cliff was saying, that we got over 30. I don't know what the exact count is right now, but when
it's 50, all 50 states are.
Yeah, and even Oregon, which surprises me. That Oregon, I'm like, my God, but the most common factor that these guys list, and most states list, is that they want the federal government to start following the Constitution and the original ideas and beliefs of the founding fathers. They also want to, I'm quoting here from the state of Texas petition, the citizens of the U.S. suffer from the blatant abuses of their rights, such as the NDAA, which I don't know what that is, the TSA, and given that the state of Texas maintains a balanced budget and is the 15th largest economy in the world, it is practically feasible for the Texas to withdraw from the Union, and to do so would protect its citizens' standard of living and resecure their rights and liberties in accordance with the original ideas and benefits of our founding fathers, which are no longer being reflected by the federal government. No, I'm not going to use this recording and when I submit my portfolio for the radio stations, by the way.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of people are very upset about this business. And, of course, as you notice, it the numbers went sky high as soon as Obama was elected. And that's to be expected because, you know, a lot of people were not happy with him being elected.
Well, I still not to. I don't have the final count on the proper vote, but, you know, as fast as the electoral kicked up, it's just hard to. It's hard not to say conspiracy, but we're going to move beyond that. Number two, which kind of goes along with what Cliff was just mentioning, coming in at 62,819 signatures, recount the election.
It wasn't that close. It just simply wasn't that close.
Well, here's what they're saying on there is, and like I say, this is actually a petition to the White House. It has become blatantly obvious that voter fraud was committed during the 2012 presidential election. In one county alone in Ohio, which was a battleground state, that President Obama received 106,258 votes, where there was only 98,213 eligible voters, which is not humanly possible to get 108% of the vote. If voter ID laws had been enforced, which the administration is completely against because that meant they would lose, this wouldn't be an issue. Recount now. Well, I mean, the joke is, you know, get out and vote, and vote often.
Right. Except that's you know, there's going to be errors made, and whether they're intentional, not intelligent, that may not be intelligent either, but intentional or not. But that's going to, you know, there was that 16,000 votes or whatever it is right there. That's not going to make the difference. That's not going to make anywhere close to the difference. Now, granted, there are other places, but Florida was the big one to watch, and they weren't very upset.
Absolutely. And also, like I've said on just about every program that we've talked about the elections, is that I know that some of the people, you know, diehard Ron Paul fans, but really you only got two people to choose from. And, you know, those votes could have, it could have swung differently. But
all they would do is just spread it out, and you had less votes for either one, but they still go the same way. The trends would go the same way. Doesn't make any difference how many other people are involved in getting votes or not. That it would, because you can vote for Ron Paul if you wanted to by simply writing it in.
Exactly, but what I'm saying is that when you looked at the numbers, really, the way the situation is set up, and I'll get back to like the Ross Perot. It didn't matter how many popular votes that he had. He had zero electoral votes.
And Ross Perot still didn't have enough votes to do anything. I mean, he took some votes away from different people, but again, I just maintain that people are not going to vote for something. I mean, it's not going to make a difference. If you've got X percentage of votes for one person and X percentage for another person, you've got a third person in there, he's going to take a percentage of each of those. He's not going to just take him from one person.
Exactly. Anyways, number three, remove marijuana from the Federally Controlled Substance Act and allow states to decide how they want to regulate. 61,000 signatures for that.
They're doing that.
Yeah. I can kind of see that. I don't like this stuff. I never tried this stuff. But and also on the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we get a 42,355 votes. Repeal Obamacare.
Yeah.
That should say a little bit of something, especially when you get right down to it. I wasn't aware of this website until recently, so I don't know how many people actually are. In fact, I think it was the secession from the states is what got my attention, even though this existed, and I wish I had a full list here. But it is interesting, speaking of secession, that of how many states are wanting to do it. And I'm just thinking about how other countries, how it looks to other countries when, the United States internally is wanting to separate from the federal government.
Well, interestingly enough, other countries are actually doing that. They're resigning from the European Union, or at least they're talking about it. That was one of the things that Greece was going to do. They haven't yet, officially, because the European Union, well, Germany, has been giving them money because so they can get along on their own. But the economy is so bad that the European Union has been thinking about doing this and considering seceding from the Union a lot more than we have been.
Let's see, coming in at 33,816, not allow the FDA to regulate premium cigars.
You're kidding, that wasn't up there in the top 10?
Yeah.
Premium cigars?
Yeah.
Okay. That's sad that we're so worried about cigars.
And as I'm still going through the list here, a lot of these against secession, so I'm looking on that, secessions from the United States, and a lot of them are like, here's one, peacefully, and I'm glad they use the word peacefully, grant the state of North Carolina to withdraw from the United States and create its own new government. And it reads that as the founding fathers of the United States of America clear in the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it's a little long, so I won't read it. But basically, the most compelling things that these guys are complaining about are emphasizing is to get back to the original concepts of what the United States says. 29,939 signatures on that one. One of the things that I do find kind of interesting, and I'm trying to find it on the list here, is that in addition to states wanting to secede from individual states want to secede from the federal government. There's also cities that want to secede from the states that they're in.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's the whole group there. I mean, it's I can understand the thing. It's you're going to have people that are upset. Period. I mean, there's going to be some, they're upset about everything, you know. No matter what it is, somebody's going to be unhappy about it. You can't satisfy all the people all the time. It just doesn't work.
Now, here's one that I think is going to be interesting. Again, speaking of the petitions, coming in at 24,420 votes, deport anyone that signed a petition to withdraw from their state from the United States.
You can deport them to.
Yeah.
Where are you going to deport them to? Maybe they're Americans.
Well, as one of them was saying, that anybody that signs a petition to secede from the Union should trade places with somebody else trying to get into the country that would like to take the U.S. seriously.
Yeah, that would really like to be here.
Exactly.
Except that there's so many of them now. I mean, we've got how many hundred thousand people that have signed those petitions in various different states because, you know, like you say, Texas has over 100,000 people alone. And so, and you know, you add all of those people up. I don't know if there's a place where it shows you a figure for all of the states, but it's got to be a huge number. And we haven't got that many places to put them.
Exactly. Well, again, I look at these numbers. State of Kentucky, 18,632. Mississippi, 18,223. Oklahoma,
25,000 is the number that you have to get before the president has to respond to it.
Exactly. So they're getting close. Oklahoma at 17,780. One of them just says peaceful allow the states that have asked to secede to do so and form their own new nation. Carolina. South Carolina, 15,012. Here's another one. Strip the citizenship from anyone who signed a petition to secede and exile them, 14,000 votes. Grant the state of New York to withdraw, 14,000. The state of California, 14,000. Well, California kind of already did anyways.
Well, That's the thing, you know. There's so many of them, and California and New York, you would think would be the big ones, and they aren't. Interestingly enough, Texas is. See, I agree. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna, if I should say this or not. Texas, because it's so close to the border, is going to have a larger number.
Well, and here's one that. Okay. Oregon primarily being a blue state, which, by the way, I am a little bit prouder of Oregon this time around. The 2010 elections, I was really disappointed in, but at least they're coming to their senses. You know, it was still a blue state, but, you know, they're getting better. Anyways, Oregon, to allow Oregon to vote on and leave the Union peacefully and remain an ally to the nation. And they say with the federal government increasing its size much larger than our founding fathers intended, and its abuse of power, over the rights of states' constitutions and the forcing of unconstitutional laws over its own citizens, the people of Oregon would like the chance to vote on leaving the Union immediately. The federal government has imposed policies on Oregon that are not in Oregon's best interests, like the lumber industry, for example. And we, as citizens, would respectfully and peacefully separate ourselves from the tyrannical government who cares nothing about creating a sustainable future for our children. Anytime the citizens of Oregon felt that the federal government was no longer imposing on the Constitution, we would vote again to join the Union under a new agreement. And I think part of that gets back into, because Oregon's one of the few states that has the Death with Dignity Act.
Yeah.
And we had to vote on that, I think, what, two, three times, Cliff?
Yeah, three.
Three times. And they were saying that, well, we got to do it again because, the judge decided that we didn't know what we were voting on.
Well, you know, the simple fact of the matter is, I foo-foo this whole thing because this idea of seceding and the idea of partitions and the whole thing is all stupid. We should all get smart. We are the ones who vote in or elect or whatever you want to call it, these people that we're upset about. We're the ones who are voting in the people who are making the decisions to run our lives. And if we want to change that, we change the people that we vote into politics. You change the top end. You don't change, you know, we have a legal way of changing things, and we aren't doing it. We're sitting back and not doing it. We're just sitting here and want to yell and scream and sign a petition, but we're not doing what we can do. And why aren't we?
Well, see, that's why I'd like to see a petition, two petitions, actually. In fact, one I'm surprised is not in there, about the 28th Amendment. Because that way, Nancy Pelosi would have gone to jail just like Martha Stewart did for insider trading. But they're protected under the Constitution. But the 20th Amendment stating that the you remember the exact quote?
I'll tell you in a second because I've got it written down. Congress shall make no law that applies to the citizens of the United States that does not equally apply to senators and representatives, and Congress shall make no law that applies to senators and representatives does not equally apply to citizens of the United States.
Exactly. Because a lot of people don't realize that, including labor laws, you know, they are not subject to it.
No, I know that. That's true. And that's what I say, though. We have the ability to make them. We have the ability to enact that 28th Amendment, if you want to call it, or to make laws that change all of the laws that do that. We have the ability to do that, and we just sit around and don't do anything about it. We just sit around and complain about it and scream and holler and yell. We're not getting anywhere at all. If all of these people who wrote the amendments and signed up for those amendments, and I don't know how many people, but obviously we're getting into big numbers, then we should make sure that they were the ones that I don't know how that would make their voice known, but I guess they did make their voice known in that they didn't elect Romney.
Exactly. 5,938 votes stopped non-citizens from voting illegally and states from illegally sending non-citizen voter ID cards. Stop fraud, as it says, which is kind of interesting. Gets back to a lot of the other issues is that you have to be a citizen to vote, supposedly.
Again, let's just get smart and enact laws that are already there. Let's just enforce the laws that are there. 90% of these petitions would be moot if we'd simply enforce the laws that we have.
Yeah. Like they should have one here that says peacefully grant New Mexico to withdraw from the United States.
Why are you saying that? You don't like New Mexico?
Well, Mexico.
What?
Peacefully grant Mexico to withdraw from the United States.
Oh, you said New Mexico, but, well, Mexico isn't a part of the United States. I know what you're trying to say. Never mind. Just not on me.
but what I am surprised, though, and it may be in here, I haven't seen it, about the official language and stuff.
Again, if we would enforce the laws that we already have on the books, then it would no longer be enticing the Mexicans to come across the border, no longer be exciting for Mexicans to be here because they wouldn't make so much money as they think they do now. Or if they did, the companies who involved with hiring them would have to pay them more money. I mean, if we'd simply enforce the laws that are already on the books, most of this would quit. I mean, you can't. You know, how do you decide who to send back to Mexico? How do you decide who not to allow in from Mexico? You don't. But if you would enforce the laws, they wouldn't want to come here.
Well, that's exactly the whole point. You know, I don't want to get into too much on the immigration thing, but yeah, we have. I mean, granted that in some respects our broken immigration system, but if you follow the way it was set up and come through the front door, but that's a whole other thing I don't want to get into at the moment. But I do want to get into 646-721-9887. We've got 30 minutes remaining in the program.
if they didn't, if they'd come through the front door, they'd be fine. But the only reason they're coming through the back door because there's only so many can come through the front door. I keep hearing all this business. Well, let's do this right and let them come in legally. They can't come in legally. We've got so many. We've got huge numbers that more than legally can come into the United States. You can't have them all here. They can't all step in. And until we get rid of the people that are here illegally, which the only way we're going to do that is to make it undesirable. And even then, again, the people who are here, who have kids that are here, who have gone to school here all their lives and that sort of thing, they're not going to leave, regardless of why. But we still got to enforce the laws so that more of them don't come in. And that's just all there is to it, because that's the only way of stopping. There's no way you can make a decision as to either that or just decide that they can all be naturalized and be American citizens, and in which case you may as well just fly open the doors and allow anybody in that wants to.
No, it's kind of what it seems like it's going anyways, but that's a different thing. Crazy stuff here. 2,689 to establish a new legal system of motorcycle riding judges who serve as police, judge, jury, and executioner all in one. And it says this is a petition to dissolve the current legal system and replace it with a single hall of justice run by judges, motorcycle riding law officers who act as police, judge, jury, and executioner. I could think of so many things wrong with that one.
Oh, that I'd have to leave the country. I know everybody would have to leave the country. You've got to understand that the people who have the inclination to be police officers are not normal people. I'm not going to say all of them are bad or all of them are wrong, but the people who want to be a police officer have a different philosophy than normal people. And you give them the opportunity to be judge and jury all at the same time, you wouldn't be able to live here.
Exactly. Yeah, to kind of go along with sci-fi movies, you know, that's just demonstrations that we have no law or my law is, well, it'd be like working for a company, you know, you have no appeal.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Coming in at 1,253 votes, allow the city of El Paso to secede from the state of Texas. El Paso is tired of being a second-class city within Texas. It says El Paso has little in common with the rest of Texas. Its demographics is much more similar to New Mexico. El Paso is also proud to be part of the United States and wants no part of a state who publicly contemplates secession of our great nation.
So they want to secede from Texas because Texas is considering seceding from the Union.
Yeah, what they would wind up forming is like D.C., the District of Columbia.
Well, yeah.
Because that's not a state.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've noticed what D.C. is.
Yeah, District of Columbia. Then debate Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio on live television with moderators from both sides. 1,100 signatures on that one. And it's just interesting. But here's the thing, though. I don't know how the Constitution – well, a couple things on seceding from the Union. First of all, Texas, I believe, is the only one that actually has it written within their state constitution to be able to do that in the agreement for the unions. And secondly, if they were to do that, can you imagine, for example, my previous job, I had to go over to the Washington side every so often, usually like 2-3 times a day in my travels. If those were separate nations, chances are they're not going to have open borders. You're going to have checkpoints. You probably have to get a visa to go over the river. You know, imagine going from, like, as I mentioned on the program, I used to work in the oil fields in North Dakota. You're going through from Oregon, you're going to Washington, skipping through the tip of Idaho into Montana into North Dakota. Now, you think it's a pain in the butt just to go to Canada and back. Yeah, so I could just see a whole bunch of chaos if that was actually the case. Plus the fact...
Actually, it's not, you know, you say that it's not a problem going into Canada. I used to go into Canada every weekend to go to the horse races, and they didn't even stop us.
Yeah, but things have changed a little bit since...
Not necessarily.
But it could basically get complicated, and, you know, there are some funding. I mean, the plus side of that would be the lack of control, like, for example, on the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit until, what was it, Nevada finally challenged them on it and took them to court because the government was threatening to withhold federal highway funds.
Well, see, that's the thing. If you decide to secede from the union, how do you do your taxes? How do you change your taxes? And where does the money come from? And so on and so forth. I mean, there is a reason to have the United States there, the federal government there. It's just that, again, I'll put it out there again, we're letting them get too carried away. We're allowing them too much power. And, of course, you know, that's the thing. We knew, or if you had any intelligence at all, you knew that that's what Obama wanted to do. Obama wants the control. He wants to control your life, everybody's life, everybody, absolutely everybody. And he's just gotten free rein to do it. And you think you've got some problems that we've had so far. You think we've had trouble so far. You see regulations and things. So far, I'll bet you're going to find that we're going to have a ton more before he's through. And it's just going to be really hard to dig our way out of it when we do get him out.
Exactly. Looking at some of the things that the White House has already responded to, fourth item on the list, of course, is the recipe for ale to the chief. So it kind of goes along with... Well, I guess a drunken America is a happy America.
No.
They got quite a 12,240 people asked for that, and of course that's less than the 25,000.
Yeah.
So.
But he'd respond to that anyway.
Yeah, to the chief. I wonder what Michelle thinks about that as far as the calorie count.
What?
Well, I mean, she's the health nut of the White House. So you're looking at malt extract, biscuit, honey, bunch of hops and other stuff. I have no idea what it is, and a quarter cup of corn sugar for priming or something. That's what it says in there.
Okay. Whatever.
And he includes a video. You know, I just hope that, well, of course, there is no law that says that the president can't be drunk when he goes to work.
I don't think Obama drinks that much, to be honest with you. And that's about one of the few things I can say for him.
I don't know. He has. Now, I will give him this. Now, somebody said, hey, can I have a beer with the president? He's actually granted it once or twice. But... let's see, building a government that serves ordinary citizens, not special interests, is one of the responses.
Well, see, that's the thing that we've got, we aren't doing. We're just, again, sitting back and ignoring everything, and we're just allowing it to happen. The whole thing, in my opinion, is moot point. We've only got ourselves to blame. We've got to blame ourselves for all the things that are going on here because we aren't doing anything about it except writing on a piece of paper or actually on a computer, electronically putting our signatures against a petition, and it doesn't do a thing. I mean, it doesn't accomplish anything. I mean, especially since he doesn't have to look at it unless there's 25,000 of them or more. And so there's very few of them that even has to, and he doesn't have to look at them anyway. The White House does.
Well, it's even just like here, 11,729, ending pet homelessness through responsible pet ownership.
Well, don't, I know a lady here in Cottage Grove that would be signing that one.
Yeah. Let's see. Of course, the post office reforming that. Wall Street is mentioned in here as a response, changing how Wall Street works. But one thing I want to throw out there about Wall Street. I don't know when they changed the rule, and I know that they've been harping about changing it back. But there used to be a thing called circuit breakers, and what it was is that when there's a sudden drop in the Dow Jones, that it would freeze trading, I think, for 30 minutes to an hour. In other words, as a calming down period, and they repealed that rule.
I think because it didn't calm anything down. I mean, it doesn't – to repeal it for – I mean, to change things for half an hour to let it review, it takes longer than that for people to make up their mind and change their opinions and to whatever. You know, half an hour – on Wall Street, it's going to take a day for anything at all to happen, and it just goes up and down. It just finally started going back up again after everything went down so long since Obama took office again. But I hate Wall Street. I absolutely hate it, and I think because we sit here and we use that as a barometer to control our life, I think that's a big mistake that we as Americans make. I mean, that doesn't tell us anything. You know, Wall Street, believe it already or not, is run by big money. And all we're saying, if we look at Wall Street, is to take an idea of what to do with our life, is to do what rich people do.
Well, I know one thing rich people do, and that is they... You don't have to worry about how they're going to pay for the tires in their car.
That's right. See, they don't have any idea of how. Well, and I hate to say this because I disagree with this in the case of Romney. I think he did make it his goal in life to make sure he knew how the rest of the world lived, because he did go places and do things, and he was not. He was self-made money. He didn't inherit it. And so many of the people who have all this huge amounts of money have inherited it, and they don't know how we live.
Well, here'd be a good one. And by the way, if you want to chime in on this again, we got 17 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. This one is a response to the question was, or the petition was, to abolish the TSA and use its monstrous budget to fund more sophisticated and less intrusive counterterrorism intelligence. And the response is, I'm just kind of skim over here, they're saying that the men and women of the TSA have a challenging but critical mission, and they take their jobs very seriously, and it goes into why the TSA exists, et cetera, skimming, covering, and it's fairly long. TSA in the next 10 years... Basically, this is a very long thing saying we ain't going to do it.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is 80% of what the TSA does could be done overnight, and it probably wouldn't make any difference at all because they can't do a proper job of it regardless of how much money we spend. And we could save that much money and use it much, much more efficiently somewhere other way than the TSA. I understand that we're supposedly patting down every human being that walks up onto an airplane. Why aren't we doing the same thing for railroads and on ships and such things? I mean, this is not everything is airplanes. And, you know, it's interesting how many people fly airplanes. I disagree with that. We don't need to get there that fast, in my opinion.
And here's a another one. I don't know what the count is on this one. 32,008. Forgive student loan debt to stimulate the economy and usher in a new era of innovation, entrepreneurship, and prosperity. And they're saying that we agree that reducing the burden of student loans is an effective way to stimulate the economy and save taxpayer dollars. And they apparently have a new policy that they are putting together, which is on the, you'll have to look it up to get more information. It's rather long. The only thing I would like to see change, or two things I'd like to see change in the student loan program is, for one, is that declaring bankruptcy, which I had to do a couple of years ago, is a very hard thing to do, especially when, like me, I had an 800 credit score, and it was a medical issue that medical and job issue that finally sent me over the edge, so I threw away a lot. But student loans are exempt from that. And, you know, most people, or at least I'm going to assume most people, don't take bankruptcy lightly, because you can only do it once every, 7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that, how it affects your credit and everything else you can do, and especially your car insurance, which is based on your credit, et cetera, et cetera. When you're in the position of, like we were talking earlier, it takes two and a half incomes now just to pay your debt, and you can't get out of this loan. And they will work with you a little bit, but to a certain extent.
The only thing you do is stretch it out.
Exactly. You know, there could be a way of forgiveness in some respects.
A couple of people have been paying student loans all their life, and they're 60 years old. And they started it when they were in their 20s.
Exactly. But the other issue, and we've actually done a program on this and may do another one similar in the future, is if you want to reform something, reform the colleges as well. In other words,
I was just going to get into that. As far as I'm concerned, there should be no student loans, and the entire educational system should change.
Exactly. Run it more like a business. My complaint was, because I have an associate's degree in computer science, less than one-fourth of the classes were directly or indirectly related to the program. In fact, I won't name the school right now, but their criteria for the degree was not that you are well-versed in what the degree is on, the computer science part of it, but the fact that you come out as a more well-rounded person. So there's a lot of courses that had not even preparatory for even going further than that, that would have helped. And my graduating class, most every one of them said, this is it.
Yeah.
The ones that really did any good were the ones that just went in there for the piece of paper and already knew what they were doing.
I agree with you absolutely and totally that colleges or universities or whatever they want to be called, if they are not self-sufficient, they just don't exist. And if you hire professors and they can't make you money, then forget it. I understand that there are people who say, well, there are professors that invent things and do things, and most of them don't. Most of them don't. And if you really want somebody to invent something, if you want somebody to support the professor or the person who is inventing something, then let it be a business. Let it be a for-profit business, and get the government out of it. The government should not be in education in any way, shape, or form, especially in controlling what's good or bad, or what should be taught or what shouldn't be taught. But other than that, they shouldn't be involved in it, in how it's financed either. And so, as far as I'm concerned, student loans should no longer exist. They shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, or at least a little bit reformed on that. But something that also the students put on the students as well, and I did this in one of my courses, is that I've run into instructors that don't take the course seriously, and I reminded them a couple times, a couple different instructors, that I am paying you for a service. You know, I am paying you to teach me.
But they don't care.
They don't care.
Because the federal government is saying, well, you can do this and you can do that, and you can do whatever you want to. They don't care about what the person, about the individual, the student, or even the general public says.
Exactly. Well, since this was a community college, I actually went into one of the courses one time, and I demanded and got the money back for that course for the term, and that was even after the 1 or 2 week period that you had for your refund.
Yeah.
They said that I couldn't do it, but I went in and I got it. And that's what more people need to do. I'll give you an example. As part of the curriculum for an associate's degree, you're required to take a couple writing classes. Okay, that's good because you should know how to write. That's
I disagree. If you've gone through 8 years of school and you haven't learned that part already, then you shouldn't be going on.
Right. Well, that's just the thing. They want to make sure you're up to speed. So that's why, like, this one is writing 121, writing 122. Writing 121 is supposed to teach you how to write essays and prepare you for the next sequence in the course, writing 122. The first day of this course, and I said I wasn't going to get on this stuff, the first day of this course, the instructor comes in and says, we're going to do things a little bit different. And if people are offended at the venue, you know, you can go ahead and switch instructors right now, and, you know, no big deal. He says, basically what we're going to talk about we're going to talk about Black history. You know, okay, hey, that'd be cool. You know, I don't care. So I went through that, and, you know, again, when you're going into these courses, you don't know what to expect or how they're supposed to do, whatever. So we went ahead, we did some reading on Black history. I learned a lot, stuff I didn't know. And at the end of the week, we'd answer a questionnaire. And, okay, fine, good. I got good grades in that course, et cetera. But when I went into writing 122, and we were supposed to write an essay every week, I raised my hand and go, what's an essay? How do you do it? And they go, what do you mean how you do it? You went through 121, didn't you? Yeah. We never wrote an essay. Talking with other instructors of 121, they did essays every week. So the whole point is, I paid for service expecting to get this training for the next step in the sequence. The instructor did not follow the curriculum, so you did not have consistency between the different instructors?
Yeah.
But the time was spent, the money was spent, and the credits were spent.
Again, I disagree with the ability to take a loan out for a college. If it's to be done, if a private company wants to give that, that's one thing. But even if private companies give it, they should get smart and realize they better pay attention to who's going to pay it and who isn't going to pay it. And the idea that you can't opt out, if you can't go bankrupt and get out of it, that's ridiculous. That's just absolutely absurd. It should be have the same rules and regulations as any other loan.
Well, and maybe you're right. Maybe because if you had to go through and say you're working a full-time job or part-time job or whatever you're doing, I mean, I know it would limit a lot of people from going to college, but I think on the other hand, maybe more people would think like me, because I took the loan seriously, and I've also put a lot of my own money into it. You know, I wanted more. I didn't want to just go for a course for an easy A. What was I going to get for an easy A? Big deal. I mean, I got a higher.
It's what's wrong with our educational system today. They want the diploma. They don't want the intelligence. They want the diploma, because that's what you have to get a job. Not in any kind of experience or ideas or anything like education. They just want the diploma.
And see, maybe that's why I butted heads with them, because I went there to learn.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, apparently.
Especially in a community college, there, you know, we've got way too much higher education that isn't. It isn't even education.
No, it's not. That's why I thought it was kind of interesting when I went to the university. I was actually in one class that was 300, it was 600 students, but it was divided up, so it was 300 in the stadium. And I actually got more out of that class. But what was interesting about that class was that they were so concerned about people cheating.
You know, I, as far as I'm concerned, 600 in a class, that may be a little overbid. But the thing is, if you're in a class with 600 other people, you can get what you want to out of it. You can learn something from it if you want to. You can not learn something too if you want to sit there and go to sleep, because the teacher or the instructor or the professor or whatever you want to call them can't control you. There's no possible way. So consequently, they can't even, even if they tried to, if half of the class was asleep, tough luck. They're just going to have to continue on. So the people who aren't learning anything are not going to go.
Right, and that's their issue. And I will give credit to this one instructor, though. There were a couple people that were a little disturbing, well, made disturbance, not disturbing, in the class, and he kicked them out.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, in the smaller classes that I had, there were a couple of the people that were just going through just to get the paper. They were playing video games in the back, and, you know, they were being very disruptive, and the different instructors wouldn't do anything. And finally, on the last term, I interrupted the instructor, and I stood up and looked at both of them and said, look, I'm here to learn, and I can't hear the instructor over you guys playing your game back there. And apparently, the rest of the room kind of applauded, and, you know, just like in the movies.
Yeah.
Didn't make very many points with those guys, but I didn't really care at the time.
Well, that's the thing. We're not paying attention. We're not treating any of this educational thing seriously. That's the problem. We've got to treat it seriously. And again, hopefully, so that the people who want to learn can. The people who don't want to learn, just put them in a room by themselves.
Yeah, it's that bringing the horse to drink thing. It's just amazing, you know, how many times the instructor would have to encourage or whatever. The one in the huge class, what he would do is that he'd randomly say, okay, for everybody that's here today, you don't have to do assignment 7. But don't tell the people that didn't show up.
Well, he shouldn't have to tell you have to do it. If he was if he was delivering the information and had some way of proving it or running a test or whatever, he shouldn't have to tell you anything like that. That it should be up to you entirely, and consequently, if you didn't do it, you didn't do it, but you flunk.
Exactly. And the last thing I was going to say on this topic, even though we weren't going to get on this topic, I think this is the last election that people were more educated, and there's almost no excuse because of the internet. Maybe things would have turned out a little differently.
Okay, I didn't follow that.
In other words, if people were more informed on their vote and were more involved, which, like, say, with the internet, you can do that, maybe the election might have turned out a little bit differently because people would have done their homework instead of voting against voting for Santa Claus.
Well, there is no possible reason why people don't need to be involved and don't. Thing is, there are so many people who sit back, and that's what happened. Is so many of these people who sit back and didn't learn anything. They did go to watch the debates, the very last thing, I think. And the thing is, they listened to Obama, and everybody. If you've been listening to him on a regular basis and participating and making your own judgments, you'll know that what he said didn't mean anything. Never has. But most people just listen. They don't say. They just accept it. And that's another term.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.